Robert Hempstead is here. He's the current Cairo Highway Supervisor. And is this your second term or third?
It would be my second term if I'm elected.
If you're elected, it'll be your second term. So, and so the first thing, let's let you give your statement. What do you tell people when you ask them for your vote? When you're going around knocking on doors or talking to people, just give us your basic.
Well, first and foremost, I'm a lifelong resident of Cairo. I've always had a passion for Cairo. I've got 45 years experience. I worked for the Greene County Highway Department for like 37 and a half years. In 2009, I went to work for Cornell University, so I put on a program. It's an 8-hour program throughout the state of New York with the basics of a good road. And there I'm actually a trainer, so I actually teach and train highway superintendents, current and highway superintendents are just getting elected, engineers throughout the state of New York. I've been doing that for quite a while now, and I appreciate doing that. I've learned a lot, and I teach a lot of my basics. I did solid waste for 10 years in Greene County. When I worked for Greene County, 22 of those years, I was supervisor of all operations in Greene County, so everything from bridges right on down through. I did solid waste, so environmentally I'm involved in everything. I'm involved in a lot of different programs in Cairo. And when I came into Cairo, I came in with a plan when I was elected. Like a lot of areas, the whole infrastructure is falling down. So there's deficient highways. I don't care if it's state, county, town, villages, they're all. There's not enough money to take care of anything. I don't think like Cairo is like the rest of them. Things just get overlooked. When I came in with an overall plan, and that's what I explained to people. So when I ran actually on my merits and exactly what I could do. Not what I think I can do, what I know I can do when I brought in with that expertise. As soon as I got elected, the first thing I did was I had an informational meeting at Gallagher's, and I invited people. I think about 50 people showed up just before Christmas to explain people the plan that I'm coming in with. This is what I'm overall going to do, and I actually facilitated that plan and worked. The next step is I actually had an off-site meeting with all the employees. So the employees would be familiar with me before I step in. I said, this is what I expect. We had about a two-hour meeting. It's really unheard of to do that, but that's how I do it, because I am an educator, and I like to communicate, and communication is the key. Then when I did come in, I immediately set it into motion. I changed the plow routes around so that they were much more efficient. Rather than maybe taking 5 hours, they'd take 2 hours. So what I did was I increased the plows that were out there. And also, for all the ancillary and small roads, dead ends, and we have, if you look at my list here, we have quite a few of them. Carroll's got like 92 miles of road. We get the most road in the county. So immediately I facilitated the snow and ice, just like I had done in the county. I brought it into here. So we were much more efficient when we went out. We went out in force, and we hit the roads, and we got them. So there wasn't a lag between. Then I would take smaller trucks, like I said, do the ancillary roads and the dead ends and stuff like that. So rather than take a big truck that goes in there, which actually tears your road apart, I'd bring in small, like 550s and small trucks like that, and I'd bring in part-time help. So I brought a lot of part-time help and trained them. And speak later about the part-time help that I brought in. So everybody worked in unison, but I'm out there every day. I just like I did on the county, I do here. I hands-on check all the highways before anybody goes out. So I'm out early in the morning, so I know exactly what's going on, and I know exactly how to relate to my crews and what they have to do. And I check all day long. I'm continually checking the roads, so that when I feel that they're good enough done, that they're done well enough, then we pack it in. But we've actually gotten accolades from since I took over the way the highways are done as far as the snow and ice. One other thing is I brought in a lot of part-time help. And the part-time help that I bring in are, some of them come in through the community service. They're community residents. They come in through community service for one aspect or another. Once they've completed, and I've trained them, once they completed their community service, these are people that have already trained, so now I'm going to get the benefit back out of them. So I bring these people on as part-time workers. And actually, it brings the community more into effect. And I've always said, if you get the community more involved, you have less problems with the community. And these people are great workers. There's really no workaround. We know it because of the economic downtrend. So by bringing these people in, it gives them employment and also increases the ability to get things done. Whether it's brush cutting, I bring them down at the park, I bring them all over to work, painting or whatever. Some of the people I brought in have certain skill sets. They could be masons, carpenters, welders. So a lot of them have their own skill sets. Like I brought in persons now. We do, like right now we're doing the annex building. It's going to be the new police station if you get a chance to go over there. Now we do it all in-house. I don't contract anything out. The only thing I contract out is things that I possibly can't do, like as far as the major paving. The rest of it we do in-house. We do our wiring and everything. I have an electrician that I put an RFP out, so he gave me a special price. He's at my call. I call him. He comes in immediately. He also does, we all do our own HVAC. We do everything in-house. We run the cable for the IT, as far as for your telephone, for your telecommunication, for your computers. So if you get a chance to look at the town hall, that's completely done by my people. The restrooms, we do the plumbing, everything. That saved the town hundreds of thousands of dollars that could be better spent on other aspects of it. And plus, again, I stress, we employ people. We're putting people back to work that buy locally, they live here. And that's the key object of the whole thing, is to get people employed and get them back into the community. Plus, they're being trained. The wintertime, I'll bring more people on. Currently, I have 9 employees. I'm actually losing one of my key persons. I'm going to say it, Ronnie Stewart. He was my go-to guy, and I hate to lose Ronnie. But Ronnie's going to be moving on. I have to be replacing Ronnie. I've got one of my other key guys, a younger gentleman. He's going to another area. So I'll be down, so I'll be looking for more people. I'm actually already put the phone out to bring in part-time people on, so they work part-time. I can see how they're going to work and their capabilities. I actually have the first female deputy in Greene County. I took my clerk, who's a very, very competent person. She's my right-hand person, and she's my clerk, but I made her my deputy. It's unheard of in Greene County. They never had a female deputy. We're very progressive on that, you know, so, and she does an unbelievable job. I send a lot of my men out for training. Of course, I do training so I can involve them in any kind of training that I teach out there for other people to facilitate it at my own building. We change a lot of things around. When I said, when I came in with a master plan, like we took St. Edmunds and I modified St. Edmunds. So anything that the town has is stored over there. So they go through for checks and balances. So what they do is they do a requisition form, which comes through my department. Say you want your bucket of pens or you need a seat pad or whatever. It's all stored up there, and I can show you sometime in St. Edmunds. There's huge shelves and everything. You go down through there, it's like going down through ShopRite or Sam's Club. We take the SKU number, we keep everything else. So it makes it more efficient. Then we fill your order. And then we go. So that way you have checks and balances. Where before they never really had anything like that. So when I came in, like I said, I came in with a master plan to get Carroll back up and running. So whether I'm here or somebody else is here, they can take right over and move it. We do like a timesheet program, which they never had before. We have better controls. One of the things we were negligent on for the comptroller was our fuel. So I brought into, just like I used on the county, the same thing where everybody has to sign for their fuel. Everything's registered, your miles and everything. Now, this is for everybody, not just us, because we take care of all the fuel for every town vehicle. Even when the ambulances come in, when the fire department, all their fuel comes through my office. And my clerk handles it. So it's made it much better as far as the accountability. And that's the key thing, is accountability for everybody. My men have the accountability. I have a great staff of gentlemen. They have the great guidance now. They go out and they handle a multitude of items. We get nothing but accolades on them. And then we can handle multitask different things. Before we go out to one, today they're all overworking. Just recently we had, I think it was October 30th, it was last Wednesday, we had that large storm come through. We had 7.5 inches.
So a lot of rain.
A lot of rain. But these gentlemen are trained now, so they immediately go out and they're at all aspects, opening culverts. We didn't have any of the damage we had before. Minimal damage, we really cut down on it.
There's a lot of flooding around Carson City?
Yeah, but that was bad for our rain. But the same type of thing which we would have up in Roundtop, like I said, Peter Mossman was telling me that he had 7.5 inches in his rain gauge up there. Quite a lot of rain in a short period of time. A lot of the culverts aren't meant to handle it, which we understand it, but a lot of them get blocked from debris and things like that. So they immediately went out. We've got everything going. So we go from that mode of basically trying to get out there and work with the water. The next mode is we go out there and make our repairs. So we assess and we repair. So we immediately started fixing driveway, fixing things. We ran into Thursday, and I brought them in on Friday. And then we were out of it, cleaned up, and we still have some cleanup to do, but basically the roads were fit for travel. So we have school buses, so I would be monitoring back and forth to school buses, letting them know. We call fire control if any road we're going to shut down. So now they're getting a training. Currently, we have 2 large FEMA projects that I've got between my clerk and I. We assessed everything after Irene and everything came through. And one of them was at Howard Myers. That's completed. Anybody go up there, it's a gorgeous thing. And they said no cost to the Carroll taxpayers. All paid through FEMA. It took me 3 years to get it, but I got them. The other one is actually currently the road is closed. It's going to be at Sandy Plains. That's basically a bridge we call the box culvert. That's 19 feet wide on the inside of the span, 9 feet tall. That should be done very shortly towards the end of this month. When that's done, then that whole road will be paved. That road will be complete. That was a problem the town had for years. They tried to raise the money onto it.
In case you've joined us late, you're listening to Robert F. Hampton, supervisor of the highways in Carroll, with his statement about what he has accomplished and what he intends to. Go ahead, Robert.
Thank you. do. I could actually go on for hours because I'm actually very passionate. I'm very proud of my town. I mean, I've tried to move everything forward, and we've actually gone from a town that used to be in the newspapers all the time for problems, just like anybody else, because of money and everything. We switch it around, and we do it cost effectively. We research everything, and we're getting things done. We've done miles of paving. I mean,
didn't you when you first came in? Didn't you also start selling off things that you didn't need and raising tax money that way?
Oh yes, I went through and assessed everything. We went through the buildings. We cleaned everything. That was part of the plan that I came up. We cleaned the building up. We got rid of a lot of stuff, and not by cutting up trucks. We did over 35,000. That was the first shot. We've done more than that. 35,000 of scrap metal, which is basically unheard of. I've never even heard of any other town.
You went through the whole town and found any piece of metal that wasn't being used.
Well, basically, maybe most of it was that we had up in our yard. What I did was I actually took we had an excavator up there. We actually went back because China was buying everything. They're paying. We actually went back through where they buried all this culvert pipe. It's like a number one steel. We dug up all this culvert pipe, shook it out, and made thousands of dollars on it. I went through the water department, and I got rid of anything that they had, like their old water meters that weren't using anymore. The price of copper and brass was way up, so I negotiated a key price, and we actually had the team of men splitting apart. We had like the cast parts went for one thing, the copper and brass. I think I made over $5,000 just for them. That's not included in mine. That's theirs. I brought it back to the water department, which is actually independent. But yes, no, it was actually unheard of. We enjoyed doing it. Plus, we cleaned everything up where everything would be normally sitting around. We put it back into our budget. And this is what I try to do. I try to renew our budget with things. One of the other things I started last year. This year, it's actually worked fine. Is when I did it on the county because I ran solid waste. I did a yard waste program. It's going strong up to our building. So Monday through Thursday, you can bring in your yard waste to me. Now it'd be branches, grass clippings, leaves, bag leaves, whatever. We have an area up there. And we have many people. It started off slow, but many people bring it. Most people don't have an area to get rid of it. Some of them, especially people within the village of Carroll, if you want to call it, they live on a small plot. So this actually facilitates people when they move up here. They come from areas where they've had it. They never had this before. So now they come in here, I give them a pamphlet, this is what you can do. So they bring, and then it can also bring scrap metal up there too, which we market when the market rises. But a lot of programs have been started here since I've been here, and they're working fine, and people seem to love it. You know, I mean, you're going to have, some people don't fully understand some things, and most people, I also do the parks, buildings, and grounds. So I took the parks there. Now we constantly mow it. We get accolades for our parks. People come from all over. I cut back the grasses and everything, the trees, so now it's much safer for the walking paths, especially on the upper end. You don't have to worry about going into the shadows. It's all wide open. We constantly mow it. We take care of all the sports fields. We have three baseball fields and a football field there. We maintain everything.
And there's some new equipment. Maybe that's not your
I do everything.
You install the new equipment?
Yeah,
there's
we
actually
just
playground
work with,
stuff?
We just, oh, yeah, that's right. I install everything. We don't contract anything out. All the playground equipment I install. My clerk will purchase it. We go out for competitive bidding. Some of it's the grant money, but we still go through competitive bidding, and we install it ourselves. Everything from the drainage right through the concrete to the mulch. We don't contract any of it out, and that's what we want to do. We're totally independent. It saves the money. My men get the experience. Plus, you have the experience, so you know how to repair it. But yeah, we take care of the sports fields. We just actually with Del Bink from Pop Warner, we just installed the new goalposts. Where they had the old goalposts were rotted, we just installed those new goalposts in there. Just recently this year, they never had handicapped facilities down there. I took the two bathrooms closer to the pavilion. Now they're fully handicapped adaptable. Also, they're also family, so that if you come down there, there was no place in there. If you've got a young child, you'd be able to go in there. Say you're a gentleman, you've got two young girls, you have to use a restroom. They have to you can go right in, it's a family. So I have two family areas right there, right off the bed, which they never had before. I have a staff that maintains everything. I bring in part-time people. A lot of them came through community service. Others I brought in to do the mowing. I have a housekeeping staff. I have a housekeeping staff because I take care of all the buildings, not just at the parks, but also town hall. So I have a staff. I do the library, the annex. I do any of the buildings. We have the Acre Community Center. I've got an Acre Community Center. Made many, many changes in there for the better. They're very, very grateful up there. And that we actually, Acre Community Center, the county rents the space, so we have a nutrition program for the older people, myself included. And then we have many, many meetings there, and we also lease it out for parties and things. So I have a staff that goes in there, cleans it before and after. We clean it during it. The library, like I said, is is one of them, so I maintain it. Whether it's a geothermal system for the library to everything, I maintain it all. It's cheaper, very, very cost effective, plus you know exactly what you're doing when you go in there.
And Kara's getting a new solar thing by the highway department?
We've actually initiated it. We were going to do a solar farm up by me, but the county kind of got the jump on us, so they're actually going to be doing it
next to the emergency building.
Yes, up in the gravel bank up there. But talking about my yard up there, we actually have, it's world famous, they come from Wales. We actually have it's like a petrified forest, if you want to call it. It predates everything even in China. I couldn't give you the exact date, and I have multiple colleges that come there and tour the facility.
There's scientists that are back there all the time, right?
All the time. They come in from Wales. Actually, the Welsh pay for a lot of it. I don't want to elaborate, but it's very, very interesting. And William Stein from one of the colleges, he actually got the thing going. But it's very, very unusual to have it municipal. See, most of them are privately owned. So to have it municipally owned, I allow access all the time. So like I said, I've got a college coming in, I think, 2 weeks from now. So they'll come there, they stay, they sleep over.
Are there dinosaur bones back there or what?
No, that's what I'd love to have. It predates that. It's actually a forest. Believe it or not, it was all underwater. That was actually an ocean. You have to stop up. I'll have to show you because there's small carbon discs that are into the stone. There were actually sharks and other aquatic life. To me, it means nothing. Like I always tell Bill, I said, when you find that dinosaur footprint, then I'll be interested. But it predates that. It predates. This is world famous. We're known all over the world. And that's one of the aspects we want to open up more and more, actually, for people to come for educational and also maybe for tourism type thing. Because there's nobody that has this. Nobody has this in the world. We predate everybody. And we own it. The town of Carroll owns it.
But you can't really open it up to the tourists, can you?
Well, yes, you could, because through the college and things like that, you could have it where people can go up in it, because we own it. We own the property. People are going to want to see it. What I want to do is build like a rotunda there, because what happens up there right now, because you have freeze and thaw constantly, it's great for the scientists, but you lose a lot of the originality of it, because what happens, it goes into rocks, it freezes, and it breaks out in the sunlight. Well, what I'd like to do eventually is raise money for rotunda so that people can come view it, because it's got to be open for everybody, so everybody can view it.
I had some students from Canada who were involved in the dig over there, or whatever you want to call it, and I wanted to interview them here on the radio station, and they were reluctant to come on the radio station for fear people would
find out
where
stuff.
They were, and that then it might be invaded.
But I have fences I can modify. We can keep it out here, but if you're going to lose a certain amount, but if you took a rotunda, nobody's going to be able to get at it anyway.
Right.
That's what I want to do. The rest of the material, this is what my idea wants to do, is once they're done, because I got to bring up, there's a huge grid. There's a huge grid that goes, they grid it out like anything else. If you look at it, it's like a map of everything. What I want to do is, what they're not using, I want to cover it back over, maybe a foot and a half of, say, stone dust or stuff like that, which will protect it, protects it from the sunlight and the freezing for future use. Then you're not going to have it. People would have to go in their machine and dig it back up, and only keep the area that would be exposed by the road.
Right.
You know, and that would be things to be raised funds for, but that would be for future generations. You never want to lose it, because like I said, there isn't anything like this around. And my passion, last time when I talk, I'm very passionate. I love it. They know who's taking care of it.
You'd show up at the cemetery before and you wouldn't really even
know
who.
They wouldn't know it was their cemetery. They wouldn't know what it was.
You're maybe not from this town and you don't even know.
One of the things I stress is communication. So just recently, what I do is I give an informational seminar. So what I just recently, at the Methodist Church, because we're closing the road, the key thing for anything is you have to get the information out. If you don't have the information out, people flounder and try to get their own. So basically, when I go out, like I close that road.
Yeah.
So before I close the road, weeks before, I give an information. Like I try to keep it local. Like I was kind enough to have Alma Virgo invite me into the Methodist Church. So we had, I don't know, quite a few people that showed up that were interested. Plus, I send out letters. So they know that this road's going to be closed. They know it's going to be worked on. Why? Also, when we go out and do a lot of the work, so what we do is to stop perpetuating any kind of myths that go out there. I post it beforehand with signs, and it just tells you. It tells exactly who to contact and what to contact. So it puts a face on the name. So people know they can contact me. Like this highway is scheduled, so they know now. Which before they never had anything. So if I close road, like we close road, I posted in advance. I've got many more. I just couldn't bring them all. But if you communicate with people, and that's I stress for any of the people who contact me, so if you open up the lines of communication, like I said, it doesn't perpetuate the myths that go out. Nothing's getting done. Nobody's plowing my road. They can reach me any point, 24 hours a day. When they do call me, the cell phone, I pick it up immediately. even if it's 2 o'clock in the morning, people are amazed. But that's just me. That's what I want to do. And you brought down on all the, like I said, the misnomers that go around about highways or anything.
Yeah, you've got a tough job. Everybody thinks their road is the road that's not in good shape, and then at the other end, you've got the state and federal government not supplying you with enough money. I'm sure
we actually get the most money from the state on shifts. It's a comprehensive plan that they put together for highways and stuff, and we have to spend it on long-term projects. Carroll gets actually the most of it, still not enough. The problem is that because of the economic downtrend, your budgets go way down. You've got many things because we're just like you. We have to pay fuel. So the price of fuel goes up and down. We have to pay for the heating of our building. So just like anybody else, we have facilities we have to manage. So that actually takes away from what you can put out on your highway.
And of course, the weather can be a huge difference in the budget too.
Exactly, right.
A lot of snow. It makes quite a difference.
I was just talking to a gentleman over here. I said, "What do you think for the winter?" He said, "It looks terrible." I don't want to hear it, because what it does is it basically takes, because we have to use that same amount of money for paving, we have to use it for plowing and de-icing.
So whether it snows a lot or whether it snows a little.
Last year, our de-icing we use a salt product, our de-icing materials went up over 25%. So that's unheard of. I mean, they were expensive.
There was a salt shortage last year, wasn't there? Yeah.
Well, that's what they said, yeah.
there actually was, because Sacri, the company who bags and markets salt, were practically out of business last year. And some of the salt that I buy off was from Sacri, so we had to go to another company.
But, well, what happens with a lot of these places, I mean, basically, they're smart people. They know. I mean, a lot of it comes from the western part of the state. And, you know, it's shipped around. It's like four or five people handle it. But they mean, basically, we know when we purchase our salt, we have to go to an agreement. So we have to use X amount. So they already know basically what you're going to use. But I mean, it's just like any kind of fuel, anything that's a necessity, they take advantage of it, just to be honest. You know,
well, actually, when I was looking for salt last year in August, I couldn't get it. So whatever was happening was real, whether it was manufactured or not.
Yeah. You know, they actually perpetuate it.
Yeah, but I never, all through the winter, I never was able to get a 25-pound bag of salt.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So we bought it from other distributors. You have to contact my clerk, because we have many distributors, because I use a calcium chloride product on my sidewalks.
Right.
Now, I'll talk about that. I have a crew, we go out there, so immediately. Carroll was one of the few communities, I'm talking Kingston all over, that after the storm, we're cleaned up. Like, I send my men down, and we work with the county, we bring the snowblower down, we clean the streets up, we try to clean everything up so you're not tripping over a snowbank. But all through the storm, my parks, buildings, grounds crew people go down here, and some of my highway people, we keep the sidewalks clear all the time. You know that. We salt it with snowblower, where other areas they don't do it. So that's one of the things we try to, we don't have a lot of business in Carroll, but I try to perpetuate so that what we do have, we can contain. Like we definitely clean over there by people that go to the post office and things like that. But they stay right through the storm and get it clean. Sunday morning people come to church.
You know, the funny thing about that is everybody in Carroll is happy about that, except myself and Acre Building probably, because...
Years ago, they should have done it, because that actually sidewalk was put in back when that was 23, was a state road. So now it's 23, because like I said, I redid everything as the boss of the county when we redid the sidewalks and everything, when we widened 23B. They cut back on the one side. That happens to be your side over there. I widened it all up. We redid the sidewalk. Some of them I kept stone, the other ones I made concrete. So we take care of all that. So we're out all the time. Any kind of major storm, any kind of major event, whether it's a storm, whether it could be a tornado, hurricane, flooding goes through. People don't understand. Highway department is basically some of your first responders. We work very, very closely with the fire department. They're excellent. They gave me excellent consideration, the fire department, and these two roads. We got to close them. So we work together. And we actually got it so that, say, Leeds right now, Leeds would be handling the other side of the bridge for Carroll. But you have to work with your other agencies through your municipalities, and I work closely with whether it's the fire department or any agency, the police departments.
So in your first term, you reconfigured all kinds of things and changed the plow routes to be more efficient. And what are your big plans for the if you get a second term?
Actually, continue exactly what we're doing. I mean, things always need to be narrowed down. anything else, once you put it into it. Last year I actually changed the plows. Years ago they had bought these multi-action plows that came off the throughway. The problem with the plows, they didn't have any shoes underneath it, so they laid flat on the ground. They were ripping our roads up. They're very heavy. So we went back to what we used on the county, which is a single fixed plow. It's an 11-foot plow, but it's a fixed angle plow, but it's got full flotation. So the plow has shoes and a plow frame. So we cut down and dig it into our roads. Some of the problems when you look at highways, basically what happens is because it's exposed to sunlight, it basically burns the oils off. So you're leaving your stone. Your stone doesn't have any protection, so your stone, as you start, it's just like if you took a credit card, went up down your skin, see how it flakes off? Same thing on the highway, whether it's tires, whether it's the plows. Every time it goes over, it's a wear factor. So it takes the stone out, and because there's no oil holding it anymore, because it's the sunlight's burned it through, it'll come right out. So we had many of our roads. So I changed the plows last year. That was one aspect. Some of the things they needed was update our trucks and plows. We're still running trucks from the 60s. 60s or 70s. Actually, we have one that we picked up from, you'll like this. We bought a used plow from Bethel, New York. It was a 1969 Oshkosh. So basically, that plow was there when the festival was going on. They purchased that when the Woodstock. So we call it peace and love. So I mean, it's a great running old, but it's an old truck. They got rid of it. It's a 1969. So we're still running ancient equipment. I mean, I'm an antique motorcycle car collector.
Well, some of it runs better than new stuff, right?
Actually, it's great. The thing is, it doesn't have the electronic controls and the computers, but
you can fix it.
And you can fix it.
Well, you're talking to the right guy here about used equipment. I'm a real auction type of person, and like Tom was. Verify for you that many things they needed for the radio station, I got at pretty decent prices for them to go into the auction.
So you're a man of my own heart then,
And now that I know you're interested, I'll be occasionally giving you some tips.
Well, you know, it's because everything is functional. And I'm just going to give a spiel for things old, because like I said, I'm a collector of everything. I'm not a hoarder, but I'm a collector. But everything back then had a function. It had form and function. Whether it was an automobile, I mean, it could be a car from the 30s, basically you have that Art Deco look. So you had the form, but it functioned. You know what I mean? It functioned so that the average man could fix it and take care of it. So, and the same thing like we're talking, whether it's old equipment for a radio station or whatever, people can go in there and fix it at a time. You know what I mean? You had gaffers or whatever, the guy came, the electrician came, he fixed it up. You know what I mean? Now it's changed over, but same thing with the equipment, because we buy the equipment nowadays, basically it's almost unrepairable unless it's a tire or things like that. You have to bring it back to the dealer, you have to put it on a computer, and so if you get water, it gets salt, and ours is subjected to calcium chloride, sodium products, so you constantly have that corrosion of terminals, which you know by electronics doesn't do it good.
Yeah.
So they haven't quite, they're starting to keep up with the technology, they put the technology there, but basically they have it where it's almost unfixable, and it's subjected to the elements. More than anything else, but you're right. Years ago, you bought something. You took your distributor cap off. You sprayed a little WD-40, right, to dry up the moisture. You clean it out. You put it back. Bang, it fires up. Not anymore. Now it's got to be reprogrammed and set. So actually, a lot of people go out and they buy used things to the auction. And they'll have, like, as long as the truck runs fine, because they don't have the environmental stuff they have to deal with. They'll fix the box, the repair the truck, and that's what we've been doing. We buy a lot through the auction. We buy a lot through, I've got the tractor trailer, it's an ex-military truck. If they never had a tractor trailer care before to move heavy equipment, I went out and bought one. Of course, it's a negligible amount because I bought it through the military, so it's surplus. We have a huge tanker, you see, when we do our water, when we do our cleaning of the highways in the spring, a huge, it used to be an ex-aviation fuel tanker. It's a monster. Pennies I paid for it. $1,000, and I could pay more for scrap. But you're right. See, we actually go out there and we recycle a lot of these things. We have a lot of things come up the throughway that we use. We pay $3,000 or $4,000 as opposed to paying $150,000. 2 years ago, I bought a used flusher. You're looking at probably a $200,000 truck. I think I paid $8,000 for it. I mean, it's in beautiful shape to flush culvert pipes and things like that. So I just bought a used last year, a Lee Boy paver from another community. So I go on the auctions all the time, and I'll buy things because a lot of communities sell things because they've got a huge budget, and they have to have a turnover.
It's unbelievable the amount of products. If you look out the window there, that white car, you see the Green County sticker?
Oh, yeah. You must have bought that.
I bought that from Green County. And now they had a major problem with that car. They had no idea.
That was probably one of our mail cars.
Yes, that's exactly what it was.
because I worked there.
And they had a problem with that car, and they didn't reveal it in the sale. And it took me months to figure it out, but I finally figured it out. The battery would go dead every night. So
was that something that was constantly discharging?
Yeah, so that's why they got rid of it. But I want to mention something that you mentioned before on one thing, Sandra. And I should mention, I'm Tony Allen, who do the Irish program on radio station WGXE. But you may also have heard me mentioning about the store. I do own the hardware store in Carroll. My little ad there.
and actually we shop local. Tony can tell you. We actually.
But what I wanted to mention to you quickly, because I'm sure some people don't even know about it. You mentioned there that people can bring brush and twigs and everything down to you and
for free. Oh yes.
Wow. And also, since we're on that, how about the burden bar, the barrel burning? Is it that completely eliminated in Carroll?
I think what it is, I mean, every area has its own, but I think it's basically dictated from DEC, so they have certain times when you can burn.
Right.
I know early in the spring you can't burn. We can get a lot of material coming in. Then don't quote me because I don't want to say because I don't really get involved. So there are times when you can. The problem that arises, though, when you do burn, could be your neighbor, because sometimes people have allergies. So what happens is you might be able to legally burn it, but if somebody puts a complaint and says it's causing them a health hazard, then you're going to have a problem with it.
No, I'm basically 100% behind the ban burn entirely. I wouldn't have it at all.
But if you bring it up to me, what I do is actually, you've got to come up, Tony. What I say for any both of you, sometimes give me a call and take a ride. You've got to see everything in works. You've actually got to see how everything fits together. Be it up to St. Edmunds, where we have everything stored, to down at the annex where we're doing, to up where we do the yardway. So we have an area designated. If it's a huge area, it's 100 acres up there.
But where can we bring the branches?
Right up to my highway garage.
Where is that?
It's right off 145.
Okay, that's a...
If you go into my yard, you're going to see signs. The first sign is going to tell you, first sign out front is going to tell you the hours and everything, what you can do. Then as you're driving forward, you're going to stop there and you're going to go see my clerk and she's just going to write it down just so we can keep track of what you have.
Yeah.
And then you're going to go up on top. When you go up on top, you're going to see the areas. One area is for brush and limbs and things like that. One area is going to be for leaves. One area is going to be for grass clippings, stuff like that. You can they make a special bag if you want a bag. We don't want plastic bags environmentally, but if you bring up the paper type bags,
right.
We take everything up there.
And I know that Green County has once a year has where you can bring paint or toxics or
paint and everything. I started that when I was in there. That's actually called a household
paint. Can people actually bring tires to care or no?
No, the problem is you have to pay to get rid of tires. I don't really want them, but you have to pay.
No, but I thought that even if people had to pay for it, that they would be happy just to rather than.
I haven't expanded by that because you get so many. I do like one program at a time. One thing I do want to touch on is when we're talking. I wanted to just talk a little bit on energy conservation. Because I did a lot for the county and I was on different environmental boards throughout the state of New York. So you try to cut down anything on your carbon footprint. I mean, this is a common thing. So all my facilities now, like the bathrooms you go down there, you all have like on and off switches for the lights automatically because before people would leave them on. So you go in there, it's activated, and it's a commercial activated. So if you go down to town hall, everything is like that. All my facilities have hand dryers. I did away with the paper towels for two reasons. First and foremost, they were plugging my toilets up tremendously with paper towel products. They're wasteful. So every of my facilities like that has a hand dryer. So you go in there, and it's, you've heard those new jet ones. It sounds like DC-9 taking off. But actually, they're efficient. They come on, they come off, they dry your hands, and you're out. It cuts down immensely on the amount of paper towels.
Yeah.
First, I'd have
the
to...
garbage, yeah.
Exactly right. So you have to buy them. They plug up a thing. The kids throw them up the ceiling. They plug up all my toilets, and then I have to get rid of them. I pay to get rid of them. So I said, you know what? So I evaluated. So I did with my... I have an electrician, like I said, we put the RFPs out. So all my facilities have it. There might be a couple left that I still have, say, like a paper towel, but everything else is done.
Okay.
And saves on the time and energy and money.
A money question. And I don't know, maybe you may not be.
No, that's fine. No, you answer me.
What percentage of the Carroll budget goes to the highway department?
We have a couple different budgets. Like the town has their own type budget, basically for their summer budget to facilitate because you've got an increase in your salt, you've got an increase in your fuel use for your truck and overtime.
Do you think that at this moment you have enough salt in stock for the winter, or you buy
no,
it
what
as,
happens
as
is
you go?
The new bids will be coming out. We started bringing in some. We actually use we don't use sand anymore. We use what's called stone dust. It's a byproduct of the processing of stone.
Yeah.
We sweep it and we pick it back up, or something. We just sweep it off. But anyway, no. Right now we only got a little bit of salt left, so we'll start bringing in new salt. And what we do is we mix the salt with the percentage, like 10% gets mixed in with the sand product. And then some roads are, like through the village, are pure salt. I'd like to go to pure salt, but I'll explain it, forgive me 1 minute. But then we mix it so that, because if you don't mix it, it's going to freeze. But yeah, no, we still have, we depleted our stock probably 4 or 5 times during the winter last year.
So we've got to go to Democracy Now! In just a minute. You want to wrap up and just give us, if a listener just tuned in, why should they vote for Robert Hempstead for highway supervisor in Cara?
Well, actually, I'm out there 24/7. I don't take any vacations. I've never had a day off from highway since I've been here. Not one day off. We've got more and more projects I'm initiating. Like I said, I'm completing this. The Polly's Rock Bridge replacement, much more pavement of the highways. We've actually started a program. We've done more in the last 4 years than they've probably done in the last 14 years of pavement, just combined. And I'm passionate about my town. I've lived here all my life, and I want to see Carroll move forward. I don't want to see it regress.
Well, I see you around town all the time driving the trucks, and I can see that you're really hands-on as you wander up and down the street there in the main street. Was your highway involved with putting down that new street in Carroll, or that was the county?
That was the county. I would have been involved back in the county. That was the county. They did that because basically the main street is the county highways, County 23B.
Right. I mean, Cairo, that street is really, really great. It's a pity that some of the local people don't use it more often to stop in my store.
Well, and actually, you know what? One of the things I do try to perpetuate the growth of Cairo Main Street by keeping it clean. If you notice, I have a program. We go out and pick up garbage all over. Any garbage that hits it, we pick it up. I mean, couches, we've had people throw out all over. Even going down into the park, we've had people throw out couches and things. So I'm a great believer, and if you keep the area clean, when I go to any area, like if we take a ride, say, this weekend we went to take a ride, we go to like Massachusetts, like going to the Great Barrington, but it's very clean. And that's what I want to bring. When people come, the first thing they look at is, I'm going to spend my money, what's the place look like? So even though we need to build Carroll back up, like my wife used to say, soap and water, she's a public health there, soap and water goes a long way. But if you keep it clean, which I try to do, like we every day we pick up garbage all over where there's couches here. You call me and we pick
so
it up.
So do you, town of Carroll actually does pick up the garbage?
I pick up the trash that's laying along there, oh yes.
Really?
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Because I assumed that it's the responsibility of the homeowner.
No, no, I don't pick up their household garbage when they put it out and sit there, but if there's trash laying on the street, I pick it up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, no. Like the bears get into something, like I've got an area right now we've got to clean up.
The bears get into it.
Go right up and clean it up for them.
All right, well, we've got to go, but thank you so much for stopping by and...